Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we are continuing our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And again, in the scriptures, they're not actually called commandments. They're the 10 words or the 10 utterances. And they're sort of the foundation principles for everything that comes afterwards. First principles. For example, today we're doing the 4th commandment, the rest. And what rest means will be different for someone, say, who's standing all day on a cement floor at the cash register in a supermarket. It'll mean something else for a person who is sitting at a desk all day, and something else still for a person who's dealing with crisis management all the time, all day. So these are foundational principles. How they're worked out in specific situations comes afterwards. And I think we mentioned this back when we were doing Moses. There was an old Frank and Ernest cartoon with Moses standing with the 2 tablets, and he says, you know, these are the 10 commandments. And over on the side, there's this huge pile of tablets. And he adds, you know, these are the 10 commandments. Those are the government regulations that go with them. So, and so all you have all these laws for, but these are the principles from Exodus 20, and I'm editing very heavily here with the. God spoke these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And I would add in here, therefore, in thanksgiving, in gratitude, this is the way you will live. You shall have no gods except me. You shall not make yourself a graven image. You shall not utter the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may have long life in the land the Lord your God has given to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. And today we're looking at the 4th commandment, so I'll read that in its entirety. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the foreign resident that is in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. This past month we've been looking at the 10 commandments. We've looked at the first 3. They do deal with our duty to God, and today we come to the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath. And I'd just like to read it in full once again for us. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident, the foreigner, in your towns. For in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. I suspect a lot of us in the course of life have wrestled with this balance in our lives between our work, our daily tasks, and rest and leisure. How do we keep those in line? Our time with our families, not just at work. How do we keep that balance? And I think this is something that the fourth psalm about rest on the seventh day, is wrestling with. It's wrestling with the question, you know, what is really a healthy life? How can we keep that balance? Chaim Pochat is a very wonderful Jewish writer. And he's written a lot of just great books. But he tells the story of when he was in college, when he was going off to college, and the conversations he would have with his mother. And as he was leaving for college, his mother would say to him, "Chaim, I know you want to be a writer, but be a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying, and you'll make a lot of money." And Chaim would come back to his mother and say, "Mom, I want to be a writer." And again, when he would come home from college during the holidays, during the summer break and so forth, his mother would say to him, "Chaim, listen to your mother. I know you want to be a writer, but be a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying, and you'll make a lot of money." And he would answer back again, "Mom, I want to be a writer." And this went on and on. Every time he would come home from school, she would have this conversation with him. And you can imagine the tension building in both of them over a period of time until they're, at the end, sort of at a shouting point with one another. And the mother said to Chaim, "Chaim, you're wasting your time. Be a brain surgeon. You'll keep a lot of people from dying, and you'll make a lot of money." And he said, "Mom, I don't want to keep a lot of people from dying. I want to show them how to live. I want to show them how to live." And I think this is what the fourth commandment is all about. It's wrestling with, you know, how should we live? How does God want us to live? What really is a balanced, healthy life for us during the time we have? How do we keep that balance? Now, let's look at work. In the ancient world, and here I'm painting with a very large brush, really. But in the ancient world, work was regarded as something, you know, below us. Societies like Rome and Greece were based on slavery. If you were upper class, if you were elite, if you were part of the nobility, you did not do manual labor. That was beneath your dignity. And this was sort of the general attitude around. But in Israel, the outlook was quite different. Here, labor, work, was seen as just part of normal life. It was honorable in and of itself. You have David, who's the shepherd. You have Jesus, who is called a technon, a master craftsman. You have Paul, who was a tent maker. Work was honorable in and of itself. And in our Christian tradition, especially in our Protestant tradition, work, and it doesn't matter what kind of work it is. It could be working in the fields. It could be working in the hospital ward. It could be in an office. It could be in a classroom. It could be on the shop floor. It could be in retirement. Our daily tasks and how we do them can be seen as a service to our God. How we work, how we perform our tasks can be seen as a service to our God. And St. Paul himself says, you know, that our labor is not in vain when we do it for the Lord. Our labor is not in vain. Now, just in daily life, whether we're retired or still active, we do a lot of stuff. We're running here and there, sometimes taking the grandchildren here and there, babysitting. And, you know, it's a common saying, hey, in retirement, I'm much more active and busy than I was when I wasn't retired, when I was working. We're on the move. And the Jewish people realized that, you know, there had to be a rhythm, that we did need not just work for our hands and minds to do, but we needed some time off to recharge, to reinvigorate ourselves. And this fourth commandment was a tremendous piece of social legislation. Remember what it says? The Sabbath is a day off for everyone, not just the elite. The Sabbath is a day of rest for everyone, husband and wife, kids, employees, even the foreigner who's in your midst, and even the beasts of burden, even the animals deserve some time off so they're not working all the time. And we all need that, don't we? Some time to recharge, some space in which to soar. Now, if you remember the weather vane, the little piece I put in the last issue was an old story about a Japanese painter, and he's got a huge canvas. And he has down at the bottom of one corner a branch with little birds on the branch. And someone came along and said to him, hey, you know, the birds on the branch are great, but aren't you going to fill in all the space? It's a huge canvas. And the artist said, no, the birds need room to fly. And I think that's true of each one of us, isn't it? We also need space. We also need room to fly. So the Jewish people recognized the need for us, you know, to have a meaningful life, to have some kind of balance. And how we work that out is a challenge, a balance between our daily tasks and just that time to reinvigorate, to be with the family, to just relax and get away from it all. But there was something else, too, that held work and rest in balance and gave it meaning, something outside of the two. And that, in the scriptures, is the worship of God, the joy of a relationship with God. Worship. I've always been struck by something an old philosopher back in the day said. This guy was a Danish philosopher by the name of Kierkegaard. And he said something about worship that is always, it's common sense really, but it makes me sit up and reminds me of something. And I've always found it a challenge, even as a minister. He likened worship to a play in a theater. And he said, you know, our common understanding is that we are the audience. The congregation is the audience. The minister is the performer. And God is sort of the one on the sideline who whispers if we've forgotten our lines, the prompter. He said, that's our common understanding, but it is wrong. It's wrong. He said, in reality, God is the audience. The congregation is the performer, and the minister is just the prompter on the sidelines, whispering the lines when we forget them. God is the audience. That's a challenge, to think that, you know, what we do in this room is done before God and for God. God is the audience. Now, having said that, I think it's also true that when we focus on God, there are byproducts. It has its effect on us. We are changed when we focus on God. And an example I like to use, something my wife Patty and I were out in Colorado at one point, and we were visiting some of the old mines from the old days there. And they would mine for coal and gold and silver and so forth. And it's sort of not a good story at all. These places were where people were treated like animals. There were revolts, and it was bad news, not a good story. But the guy who was taking us around also said something that struck me too. He was talking about the donkeys. They had donkeys that brought the carts with the ore out of the mine. They drew those carts out. And he said, you know, they found that a donkey that worked 24/7 in the mines, in the darkness, gradually became blind. But if the donkey had one day out in the week, one day out in the sunshine, it didn't go blind. And I think that's kind of a story for us. That, you know, a time when we step aside and we worship the God who's been active in our lives all week, but focus on that, helps us to keep our sight, helps us to remember what's important, helps us to see God's light of goodness and love shining down on our tasks in life each week. Work and rest and worship, they all go together. And I think the fourth commandment, the fourth word, is again a reminder of how God wants us to live, but also how this is a very healthy and good way to live, so that we keep in mind the meaning of it all. Amen.